Praise the Lord. Amen. We want to just continue to remember our pastor this morning. And I think it was put out on Facebook, but he sent out a video and had some testimonies of things that the Lord was doing there in Africa. And God is still calling. Amen. And as long as he's still calling, you know, we want to be about his business and out and trying to find those that he's calling to. Amen. So we just want to remember him and the work that's being done, but also him personally, amen, and just that God would lift him up and give him strength. Amen. We may not be able to be the ones to go, but like, you know, Moses, when he stood over the battle with his hands up, he needed a couple of good men. Amen. To help him out and to hold his arms up. And so we can lift each other up in prayer. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, this morning I have a subject on my heart that I'd like to... it's actually for today. We won't finish it this morning. We'll do one part today, this morning. And I don't know if we'll finish it tonight, but we'll get as far as we get. Amen? And so that means you have to come back tonight. You can't just come this morning and... you'll only get a part of the story. You'll only get the first chapter. You can't. Nobody likes to just read the first chapter of the book. That just gets you involved and gets you sucked in, and then, you know, you want to know how the story ends, right? So, if you have your Bible, I'd like to invite you to turn into the scripture this morning. We're going to read one verse in Luke chapter 4, and. If we could stand for the reading of the word. Now this morning, my subject is stolen worship. Stolen worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 4 and verse 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, only one. Amen. Unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer here this morning. Heavenly Father, we certainly just appreciate the opportunity, Lord, to come and worship you, Lord. Amen. To come to this house, Father, and Lord, with a testimony of Jesus Christ on our lips, Lord. We're thankful to be able to gather together, Lord. There's such an encouragement when we see other brothers and sisters standing strong for the gospel. When we see them, Lord, with the same fire burning in their lives, Lord, it encourages us, Lord. We're an encouragement one to another. Lord, when I see my brothers and sisters setting aside things that they could be doing here on a Sunday morning, putting you first, Lord, saying that I will go into the house of the Lord and I will honor my God, and I will honor the resurrection and all that it means to me, and I will praise him, and I will offer a sacrifice of praise with my lips, and I will come and I will listen to the word and I will receive it. Lord, it encourages me when you have people like that on this earth, Lord. And it's a privilege to stand shoulder to shoulder with people like that, Lord, who want to put you first in all things. So, Lord, we just honor you as our honored guest this morning. And, Father, we say, Lord, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask you, Lord, to give us this day our daily bread, Lord. Give us what we have need of from your word. Lord, and forgive us of our trespasses. And Lord, our faults and our failures and our shortcomings, Lord, and where we've disappointed you, Lord. Forgive us of that, Lord, and wash us as whiter than snow, Lord. Lord, we love you and we want to be pleasing to you. May you be comfortable, Lord, to move in this service, Father. Amen. And may you be welcome in all hearts, Lord, here this morning. To move and to shape. To send us, Lord, to chip away and to circumcise us, Lord, from unbelief. We love you, Lord. We want to be more like you. We pray for our pastor this morning, Lord. Father, no doubt, Lord, he's weary from the task, Lord. Weary from the exertion and the travel. And Father, I pray that you give him rest, Lord. Lord, I pray that you give him peace, Lord, in the midst of the battle. Lord, I pray that many victories would be won for the kingdom of God in that place. Lord, that souls would be saved. Lord, trophies for the kingdom of God would be won. Bless each one here this morning, we pray, Lord. As your word goes forth, set us aside, Lord, and use us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. So my subject today is stolen worship. Stolen worship. To steal something is to take something that doesn't belong to you. It's intended for someone else. It belongs to someone else. Amen. But if it's stolen, it's been taken from its intended and redirected. Amen. I'm trying to get this mic up to where maybe it's... Is that better? Even higher, they say. Go higher. Amen. I can't go too high. It'll be in my throat. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, worship that's stolen. Amen. Now, in Luke chapter 4, verse 8, Jesus is contending with the enemy. And the enemy is trying to get him to bow and to worship. Right? And what does he say? He says, "Satan, get thee behind me." He says, "Because it is written in the word of God, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Amen. 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 And worship or service directed any other place is stolen worship. Amen. It is only intended for God, and he's the only one that deserves it. Amen. Now, this is a little teaching on this subject this morning. As I mentioned, we'll get deeper into it tonight. But there's two words that I want to draw your attention to. He says, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Amen? Amen. Worship and serve. Serve and worship. Amen. Now, he doesn't mention praise. Right? Now, we're going to talk about that later this morning, Lord willing. But worship and serve, and they are two different words. Amen. That word serve is actually performing acts of service. Okay? It's movement or... And it's religious rites or religious acts of service. Whereas worship is actually honoring, honor or giving reverence. We would describe it like bending the knee to someone. All right? Much like they do to the Pope. Right? Where they bend the knee before the Pope and they kiss his ring. That is an expression of a higher authority. Right? They're doing obeisance. That is worship. All right? Honor, reverence, it's actually placing you in a position. You're putting yourself and that other person or thing in, you're placing positionally one over the other. That's worship. All right? Now what we, you know, when we're singing and different things like that, oftentimes that's praise, but not worship. Okay, now we're, like I said, we'll get into that part a little later. But the word actually for worship in the Greek, in the New Testament, it's actually like, it's related to, now so don't get this image in your head necessarily, but it's related to a dog licking his master's hand. Okay? So like a dog acknowledges his master, that he's his provider, that he's his attention is on his master, and saying that I'm focused on you, and whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
Right? If you've ever known or been around a dog that's well trained, the dogs that are the best trained are the ones that have a great intelligence. But they have a laser-like focus on their master. Right? They're very attentive, in other words. And they say that dogs have one of the things that's unique about a dog that makes him such a great companion for a human is that dogs have developed a way that other animals have not, where they are keyed in on a person's eyes. And they can distinguish what a person they're attuned to what a man is looking at. Because they're attuned to the whites of a person's eyes. And so they'll know, are they looking over there? Are they looking over here? They're tuned in to what their master is looking at. And based on that, they communicate. They understand what's my master's intention. What is he thinking about? What's he looking at? Is he focused on me? Is there something out there that is threatening him that I should be focused on? And so there's an attentiveness with a dog and his master. And a dog licking his master's hand, it's the dog showing that you're boss. Right? You're the boss. Whatever you say goes. And so in a human form, many times in old times they would take a king and they would kiss their hand, they would bow before them, they would bow their knee to them, they would prostrate themselves before a magistrate or something. It's an expression of reverence. It's a way of an outward way of showing that you have a higher position than me, and I am subjecting myself to you.
Right.
All right? So that's worship. Now, we are instructed that Jehovah God is the only one that is to be the object of our worship.
Right.
Is that right? Throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, it's unequivocal, right? It's one of God's commandments.
Amen.
That He alone is to be the object of our worship. He's the only one that we are to commit our special service to.
Amen.
Right? So we not only place Him in that position, but Jesus said, Him only shalt thou serve. The only one that we commit our service to. In fact, He's the only one that deserves it.
Right.
He's the only one that it is fitting for our worship to be directed to. So in this instance, Satan was trying to steal worship that belonged to God. And in fact, brother, sister, the battle that we are in now completely stems from stolen worship. All the way back to the beginning when Satan in his heart, what he purposed in his heart, started with him wanting to steal worship from God. And you take that from that point all the way forward to where we are now, all the way through the book of Revelation, everything that's spoken of in the Bible, all the way to the end, all the strife and battle stems from stolen worship from God. The age that we now live in is characterized by worship that has been stolen. And that is the battle that we fight on a day-to-day basis. Amen. Satan in the beginning purposed in his heart to be worshipped as God. So worship is extremely important. Right? That we understand what it is. Its place in God's economy. God's attitude toward it. Our position. Our part in worship. Amen. And so that's why we want to take that subject here this morning. Amen. So we were taught, or we are taught, in the message, that God in the very, very, very beginning, before the beginning, was not even what we call God. Amen. Right? Because God, the word means he's an object of worship. And before the beginning, there was no one to worship him. Amen. So to become God, there had to be someone or something to worship him. So we know that he created the angelic dimension. Right? And he created beings that are angelic. He gave them celestial bodies. Right? And he created that realm. And those angelic beings worshiped him. And he became God. An object of worship. Amen. They made him God. He was the self-existent one before that. Amen. The one who dwelt alone with his thoughts. Still in essence unchanged in all that he is now, he was then. But yet no one to acknowledge him as such and worship him and put him in that position. Amen. So that angelic host certainly was created to serve multiple purposes. We know that the Bible tells us in the New Testament that the angels are ministers to the sons and daughters of God. They are messengers of God. They are servants of God. They serve the Most High, fulfilling his purposes in that dimension and also affecting the dimensions here on earth. Amen. So they have multiple purposes. But one of the main fundamental purposes was to establish true worship. In fact, some of those angelic beings we know, that is their only purpose, is to praise the worthy one day and night. Amen. Creating an atmosphere of worship in the throne room of God. Think about that. Their only purpose for existing. My. Amen. I don't think, brother, sister, that they're sad about that. Amen. I don't think that they're wondering, man, maybe I could do something else sometime. Maybe, you know, one of these other angel jobs. No, I believe that they are well satisfied. And grateful and thankful for the honor that they've been given. To shout, holy, holy, holy. Amen. Amen. To create, to be in the throne room of God. To be in that presence. Amen. And to worship him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I had a quote, brother. Could you throw that up, that quote up there? I think I might have got it mixed up. And I just wanted to Yeah, I did. Can you scroll down to the next quote there, the Easter seal? I got him out of order. I apologize. Amen. He says, now there's a great statement, and I want my minister brothers to understand this. See, in the beginning, God, the great spirit, he wasn't even God then. He was the eternal one. God is an object of worship, and he had nothing to worship him. There was no angels, no nothing. Just God alone, him alone, is eternal. But in order to be God, there had to be something to worship him. So he created angels and beings and cherubims and so forth to worship him. And his great plan begin to unfold. You see, as his plan begin to unfold, it started right at the beginning with worship. Amen. So what is worship? The worship of those angelic beings is very different than our worship, is it not? In some ways it's the same, but in other ways it's very, very different. Right? And I'm sorry, I got these all out of order, but John 4:23, just scroll up, there you go. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Amen? All very familiar, I hope. But we see that true worshipers, Jesus is speaking about true worshipers, right? Amen. That must mean that there are false worshipers. Right. If the Father is seeking such to worship him, then that means there are some that aren't. Amen. So what is false worship and what is true worship? Right. What has caused those to allow their worship to become tainted or contaminated or redirected such that they would be a false worshiper? Because clearly he's making a distinction, right? He says, look, there are true worshipers. Now, if that day was anything like this day, the true worshiper are in the small minority. Right? And so Jesus is saying, look, you've seen a lot. And he was talking to the woman at the well, right? He was talking to a woman who was in a different religious denomination. Right, and they disagreed with the Sadducees and the Pharisees of the day, and there was contention, and one was saying, this is truth, and this is worship, and you have to have this, and you have to have that, right? And so she was confused in her mind, what is true worship? Amen. That's why Jesus was setting her straight. Amen. He was telling her, look, you've seen all of these other forms that claim to be true. Right. But he says, but I'm going to tell you, this is what true worship is. So false worship has been tainted in some way. Or it's been redirected. It's not to the true God. Amen. Brother, sister, whenever I read this scripture, something in my heart just jumps. Because, and it always comes back to that line where he says, the Father seeketh. Amen. The Father seeketh. He's desiring. Right? You think about back to David. And he had those mighty men of valor. And they were so focused on their king. When David began to express his desire, oh, if I could just have a cool drink of the well of Bethlehem again. Right? What did those men do? They said, our king has a desire. We're going to do everything we can to fulfill that desire. They were interested in what their king wanted. Amen? Oh, brother, sister, when I hear the Father seeketh, that makes my antenna go up. Because I want to be that. Amen. Whatever he's looking for, The Father seeks. The Father looks. The Father is well pleased in. Those words are key words for me. They trigger me. Amen? The Father seeketh such to worship Him. If the Lord wants something, man, I want to be part of that. Amen, and I know you do too. Brother, sister, but not everybody's like that. You know, that's why when we witness and we talk about the goodness of the Lord and we talk about this great message that God has sent us, we assume that everybody has that attitude. Right? Sisters, when you hear, God wants you to have long hair. Right? Well, if that's what He wants, that's what I want to do. It may be hard at first. You may have to overcome some things, right? But the overriding desire is, if that's really what God wants, that's what I want. But not everybody is that way. I can't even relate to that, right? Many times we can't. What do you mean? If you know what God wants, shouldn't that be your fervent desire? But not everybody is that way. In fact, we're going to see as we go on down through this little study here, when we get to the end in Revelation, there's only the bride. Only the elect have true worship. Amen? Only the bride, only that elect are the ones that have what He's talking about, that meet what the thing that He's seeking for, provide what He's seeking. Amen? So hard for us sometimes, man. I don't get it. Why wouldn't you want to please Almighty God? So worship, brother, sister, it's not just one thing. And it's not just in one realm. We realize it's spirit and in truth. It's in the angelic realm. It's in the physical realm. It spans all the different realms, and it's many different things. Amen? Jesus, in fact, in that scripture, if you read it carefully, He actually doesn't tell us what worship is. If you look at it. Right? He says, but those that worship shall worship in spirit and truth. But He doesn't actually say what worship is. He just says when they do it, they're going to do it in spirit and truth. Right? Because He doesn't give us a prescribed way of worship. So many have tried to do that. Well, if you hold your hands a certain way, or you say a certain thing, Hail Marys, whatever, right? Bend the knee, bow your head. We want prescribed things, but He didn't give us that. He said, but you will worship, and when you do worship, you worship in spirit and truth. In fact, because He doesn't describe or prescribe worship to us, it's because it's something that we just do. In fact, we do it all the time, even when we don't realize it. We automatically, as humans, mankind, automatically worship something or someone. Most Americans worship themselves. Right? Or they worship some American idealism that tells them to worship themselves. Amen? When you, and brother, sister, please don't misunderstand me. I'm thankful to be an American. I'm thankful to live in this country of freedom. I'm thankful for everything that we have. Amen? But there is a spirit on America. Amen? And there is an American spirit, an American attitude. And many people worship that. They worship that rugged individualism. Amen? Rugged individualism, while admirable in the flesh, is not taught in the Bible. Amen? What do I mean by that? I mean, it's you can do it. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You can make it happen. You can achieve your dreams. What are our politicians? What do they appeal to? They appeal to worship of the American ideal. Amen? They're American exceptionalism. We're the best. And we can do it. And we have freedom and all things are, everything's possible and you can, what? You can be free to chase after happiness. It's written in our founding fathers, right? Right in our founding documents. The pursuit of happiness. Well, that's an American ideal. As Christians, we should not worship that. We're thankful to live in a country that allows religious freedoms, but that is not our ideal. Amen? Our flesh is a self-exalting, self-worshipping nature. It's selfish, self-centered, self-pointed, self-directing, right? And our culture is designed to facilitate that. It's all about self. You can do it. Go to the bookstore and you'll see self-help. Amen? Most popular section in the bookstore just about. Maybe not. Maybe fiction is a little higher than that. Right? But we've cultivated and encouraged self. So we actually worship all the time. But we're supposed to be bending the knee only to one. And when we bend the knee towards Him, we do it in spirit and in truth. Amen. Now we know many that are under the sphere of Christianity, under the title of Christians. They want to enjoy the benefits of the Spirit. Right? So they want to go so far as to worship in spirit, enjoying the anointing of God, enjoying the power of God, enjoying the peace and the joy. Right? But refusing to submit themselves, they're not actually worshiping. Amen? Because worship is putting yourself in the subjective position. Amen. I hope I haven't lost you. Refusing to submit themselves to the truth of the Word, they are not truly worshiping God. This was greatly exposed by our prophet when he came to the Pentecostals of his day. Those that were closest to the truth. Amen. But he came with signs and wonders and miracles and healing, and as long as he was just healing, they were fine. But as soon as he brought the truth with the Spirit, they refused to submit to the truth. Amen. What the prophet's message actually did for the Pentecostals is he showed, and this is what the true gospel will do, is it actually showed those people that were worshiping God out of ignorance, right? There were Trinitarians that the message came to, and worshiping God thinking He's three. They weren't worshiping in truth, but they were worshiping in ignorance, right? But when the truth came to them, they received it, and that was worshiping in truth. God allowed their worship in ignorance, and there was a whole group of people like that. And then there was another whole group of people that were worshiping in ignorance because they refused the truth. When the truth came and was presented, it turned out they actually were not worshiping God. It turned out they were worshiping their denomination or their creed. They were worshiping what they had been taught in seminary. They were worshiping intellect and their own wisdom. And so when the revealed light of the day came, it showed and it divided true worship from false. Amen? So they were walking in a God that they had imagined. They imagined that He was three gods and they did it based on their own intellectual understanding. I'm just using that as an example. Right? There's many other things like that. But others were just walking in ignorance. And when the light came, they walked into the light. Because, in fact, all along, they were actually worshiping God.
Amen.
All right? Amen. Hallelujah. So the Father is seeking that true worship. He's not seeking those that allow their worship to be redirected to men. Now, others are the opposite, right? We know that there's the balance, the spirit, and the truth, right? We got to have both. And there were those that were holding on to truth with no spirit. They had received that truth intellectually and through a church system. They had taken truths and they had built denominational walls. And I should take the past tense out of my words here, right? They have and are.
Yes.
And not just outside the message, but also inside what we would call the message. People getting puffed up in their knowledge, forming exclusive groups based on what they have to be true. And the truths are truths. Amen? But without the Spirit to go along with it, it's redirected worship. In fact, it's false worship. Because now they are worshiping their knowledge. Or they're worshiping the personality that's bringing them, quote unquote, revelations. And when you see these groups that are going down that path, and those groups that have put so much emphasis in this message on the next mystery and the next mystery and the next mystery, there's always a mystery man behind that. And that worship is being redirected. Amen? You look at this Seven Thunders movement now. They are outright worshiping man. They are calling a man their God. They focus so much on mystery after mystery after mystery that now the only one they can get it from is this man. And whatever mystery he says is next, that's it. And they've worshiped him as God. That truth that they originally had did not move them to true worship. Because they did not have the life of the Spirit to go along with it. Amen. Now, sorry brother, if you could scroll back up to the first quote that I put there. Hebrews chapter 2. Now we're speaking about what is worship this morning. Amen. Now Brother Branham says, we should not worship the Lord just after we get through preaching the word. Amen? Notice he didn't say we shouldn't. He said not just. All right? He says that's wonderful. It's wonderful to worship after the preaching of the word, in other words. But he says, but we should worship him every hour of our life. I don't know about you, but there are hours in my life where I'm not singing a praise song. Right? Things that we would normally attribute to worship. But look at what he says. When we're at work, we should worship him. I mean, that doesn't mean you got to grab a tambourine and go, you know, down the hall, slapping your coworker. Isn't God good? That's not what he's talking about, right? Now, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. But he says every time the opportunity presents itself, he says, worship the Lord by testifying of him. Amen. Remember, worship is obeisance, right? Worship is reverence. Worship is putting, is position.
Amen.
Worship is placing God in his rightful place. So look at what he says you're doing. Worship the Lord by testifying of him. If you see some of you ladies see a woman in the wrong, worship the Lord by taking her and saying, sister, there's a better life than this. You men at work, when you hear a man using the name of the Lord in vain, get a chance to one side and slip over and take him by the hand and say,
there's a better life than this. You shouldn't use those words. And tell him in a meek, gentle way. He says, all those things is worship. When we see someone sick and the doctor says there's no more can be done, we ought to worship the Lord by telling them there's a God in heaven that answers prayer. Amen. Worshiping God. Putting him up in his rightful place. Talking about him that way. Right? Those are the things he's describing to us. When there's sickness symptoms, you don't exalt those to a higher place. But you say, my God is bigger than that. I have a God who heals. Amen. There's a God that answers prayer. He says all of these things are worship. All of these things are acts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They demonstrate our reverence to God and the honor that we give to him. The place that we have exalted him to in our lives. It is our obedience to the one true God. Is that right? Obeying his word out of love for him. That's worship. It's as much as you are bowing before him physically. If you were standing in his throne room, the Almighty God on the throne before you, and you bowing before him, you standing for him here is as much as that. Amen. Standing for his word. Testifying of his greatness. Being obedient to his word. Staying in your position. Satan's great. His great mistake was getting out of his position. And staying in your position is a form of worship. Being what God made you. What do you think the Lord thinks about all these people that he made men that are trying to be women? Right? He made them to be a man. But they think they know better. They're possessed or they're influenced by an evil spirit that has convinced them that they know better. Right? Well, brother, sister, that's no different than any other position that we have. Position, I'm talking position in the body of Christ. Right? Headship under the pastor. Position in the church. Position in your family. Position in the economy of God. Your position over demons. His position over you. Amen. It's God's economy the way he set it up. And by staying in our position, we honor God. And we say, you know what, Lord? You knew what you were doing. Right? When you try and get out of your position, you're telling God, yeah, you didn't really know what you were doing when you set it up this way. I have a better idea. Amen? But you worship God by acknowledging, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. Amen. I don't understand it right now. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm doing it your way. Because I know your ways are the best. Hallelujah. Acknowledging him as king. Amen. You see how all these things are worship. Amen. Now, as I mentioned before, there's a difference between praise and worship. They're two different things. And the best way that I can illustrate that is to tell you that it's not, there is no harm. It does not break the law of God for me to praise another man or woman. Praise is simply acknowledging something well done or something exceptional, right? I can praise our song leader. I said, Brother John, you did an exceptional job this morning. Good job, right? I've just given him some words of praise. We have great musicians, right? That's just acknowledging that they've done something well. Now, we are to praise God. But just praise is not the same as worship. Amen. In fact, if you look out through all of Christianity, there's a lot of praise going on. But not much true worship. We should praise the Lord more than anything else. We should acknowledge His greatness, His goodness, His characteristics, His loveliness, the beauty of holiness, His amazing character. Amen. All of these things we can praise Him for. We can praise Him for His faithfulness. Lord, You were there for me. I praise You. I thank You. Right? Our praise flows from thanksgiving. Amen? He was there when I needed Him. He's powerful. He's a mighty God. He's beautiful. Amen. And in the song service, we begin to praise through the singing and the fruit of our lips. And that is a sacrifice that we make of praise. I'll say this. That thing that you enjoy or that brings you pleasure or enjoyment, that's what you begin to praise. Amen? Because our enjoyment of something flows naturally into praise. You know, if you really enjoy being around someone, you're going to talk good about them. Right? You're going to say good things about them. The pleasure in your heart just effuses out as praise. What about for God? Amen. So praise is something that comes out and flows and speaks about God and His goodness. But it isn't worship, brother, sister. But it does flow into worship.
Amen.
Amen. And let me tell you, you know, when you're in a song service or an after service, and when your praise makes a transition. Amen. You don't always feel like praising. Sometimes you got to make an effort. You got to sacrifice. Right? Your praise, you're going to create an atmosphere. You come dragging into church, and I don't care. He's worthy. I'm going to praise Him. Amen? He deserves it. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to give Him the fruit of my lips. I'm going to praise and create an atmosphere for the Word. I'm going to praise Him. But there's sometimes when that flows into worship. Amen? When your heart gets lifted up someplace. Amen. And you begin to see Him on His throne.
Amen.
And you begin to recognize your position in Him. And He begins to speak to you, and it's a communion. And then your praise moves into true worship. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 18:3. Just a little scripture here. There's many like it in the Psalms. It says, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. And so shall I be saved from my enemies. He is always worthy to be praised. Amen? We are not always worthy to be praised. There are times where, a little praise, your children, they did a good job in school, or they did something right, they were obedient. You know, good job. A little praise, right? But we are not always worthy. But you can never go wrong. Hallelujah. Offering praise to our God. Praise and thanksgiving. Amen. In Luke 19:37, it said, even when He was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God. This is Jesus
triumphantly entering Jerusalem, right? They began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Praise. For all the mighty works that they had seen. Right? They were acknowledging excellence. They were saying, this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. Look at the things that He's done. We've seen the blinded eyes open. We've seen the dead raised. We've seen miracles and signs. We've seen the word of wisdom. We've seen the sign of the Messiah. Right? And so they're praising Him based on what they had seen. They praised Him with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, stones wouldn't worship, but they could praise. Creation praises. But worship is a little different. Why? Because all these same people in Jerusalem, not too much after this, are crying out, crucify Him. Give us Barabbas instead. They were willing to praise for the mighty works that He had done. But were they willing to bend the knee to the Savior? They weren't. They said, His blood be on us. He is seeking such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise acknowledges something great, but worship flows from praise into a much deeper realm. Amen? It's related to position and authority and submission. Right. Yes. Amen. Oh, and that's the hard one. Right. Submission. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise does not always result in submission. But worship flows from submission. Many are singing praise to Jesus right now. It's Sunday morning. There are churches all over this city, all over the land, all over the world that have a praise service. And they all do it their different way. They've got, some of them got the rock and roll band with the lights. Right? Praise, offering praise. But does God receive it as worship? Not unless it's with spirit and truth. Right? So, we can come in and we can offer praise. We can offer praise in church. But are our thoughts elsewhere? Are our hearts consumed by something else? We may be offering praise, but we're not offering worship. Our minds have been turned to something else. Our desires are consumed with something. Our minds are turned away. We're not under submission. We are worshiping the God of our flesh. Amen? Well, I want this and I need that and I. We're worshiping, but we're not worshiping the true God. Amen. Hallelujah. Worship flows out of our souls when we recognize Him as Lord, King, Ruler, Sovereign, in control, the only one worthy. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's when true worship flows.
Right.
We could be praising all we want and having a good time and enjoying the anointing.
Now let's, just with the remaining time we have, let's talk about some short examples here.
When Abraham was walking in the wilderness and God told him, go sacrifice your son.
I don't think he felt like singing a gospel song.
I don't think he was up on that mountain going, hallelujah, I'm walking with the king.
I think he was under heaviness.
He was going through a strain.
Amen.
He wasn't shouting victory. But yet what he was doing was worshiping God. He was going up to an altar. And he was sacrificing, not his son, but actually what he was sacrificing was his self-will. He was putting his self-will on the altar. He was worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And God was well pleased. He said, Abraham, seeing as you have not withheld your son, your only son. Amen. God was well pleased with that. That was worship, brother, sister. That was powerful worship. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wasn't shouting no, you know, happy gospel tunes. He wasn't beating a tambourine and praising, but he was worshiping. Amen. As his will was, he was bending his will into subjection to the Father. And he was saying, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but if not, Lord, if it be thy will, Lord, not my will. That's worship, brother, sister. That's true worship. Oh, help us, God, to worship like that. We get this idea that, oh, it's worship, and man, it's good times, and it's... No. You might be going through the hardest trial of your life. You say, I just can't worship God. Are you standing true? Are you staying firm on the Word? Are you confessing the Word against all unbelief? That's worship. That's worship. I'll give you another example. One time there was a little widow woman. We know the story. She was broke. Except for one little mite. Little bit of money. Amen? She wasn't having no big shouting service. Oh, God has provided all this for me. Hallelujah. No. It was a sacrifice she was making. She was saying, Lord, I don't know how. I don't know when, but I know you're going to provide my need. Amen. And she took that little mite. She put it in there. She didn't think about all the corruption. She knew about it, I'm sure. They knew all the corruption of the priests and all the temple and everything that was going on. But she wasn't giving it to them. She was giving it to God. She was worshiping Him. She wasn't bowing in obeisance to some priest. She wasn't saying, oh, this is my church, and so I have to give this money, and so that's not what she was worshiping. She was giving it to the Lord. Amen? She was doing service. Jesus said, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen? That's what He's seeking. And what He told Satan? Only Him shall they serve. Amen. She was serving God with what little she had. Amen. When you sign up and you come and clean this church, you're not doing it for the church. At least you hope not. You're not doing it for your brothers or sisters. You're not doing it so that they can look and see your name on the list and say, wow, what an awesome brother or sister. You're doing it for God.
Right.
And then the New Testament says that we should do all things as unto the Lord. That's worship. That widow with her little mite was worshiping God in her sacrifice. When you bring your tithes and offerings, you're not bringing it to the church, you're not bringing it to the pastor, you're not bringing it to the ministry, you're giving it to God. That's why that is a form of worship. It's not raise your hand praise, right? But it's worship. There was another woman, right, that came to Jesus. She had taken all of her savings and sold it so that, had taken all her savings and had bought that alabaster box. They weren't having a shouting praise service. She came in and was crying because of her unworthiness to even look upon the Lord. And washing His feet with her tears and presenting this great gift and just showering her love upon Him, yet in her state of unworthiness. Brother, sister, that was worship. That was a soul that was coming under subjection to God and saying, "You are God." Now contrast that with the crowds saying, "Hosanna. Look at all the wonderful things He's done." And then days later, crucifying Him. But she was worshiping Him. She was putting Him in His rightful place. She was sacrificing her money. She was sacrificing whatever reputation that she had left. Her popularity. She went to a place where she wasn't welcome. She wasn't worried about getting her feelings hurt. She bore the reproach to go to Jesus' feet. That's worship. Amen. Now we can do it in praise. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison and they began to praise, that was worship. Amen. Why? Because they were saying, "I'm not worried about these circumstances. God has allowed us to come to this place. His will be done." Amen. I'm not going to worry about it. He's got it all in control. We count it an honor and a glory to suffer such things for the gospel. We must be doing something wrong because the enemy's against us. Amen. And they began to praise, but that praise was worship. You see the difference? Amen. Brother, sister, I want to be pleasing to Him. Amen. I want to be pleasing to Him. We've probably all been in those services where, you know, there's somebody gets touched by the power of God, and man, they go off dancing, maybe they're speaking in tongues and they seem so spiritual, but they haven't surrendered. It's not worship. Right? I want my worship to be pure. The Father is seeking such. He's only going to find it in one place, brother, sister, in the elect. All the rest refuse Him. When we talk about natural relationships, husband and wife, one of the most horrible things is a wife who would refuse her husband. You understand what I mean? Right? That they're meant for that, right? Well, we were meant for worship. To refuse Him our worship, it's a horrible thing. Right. Amen? But brother, sister, I want to be found standing in the midst of Satan's Eden. Standing in the darkest age. Standing when no one else will stand and offer Him true worship. When everyone else, not everyone, there's, right? But the majority. When the majority has compromised. When the majority is
is not worshiping him in spirit and truth. I want to stand in that darkness and offer him true worship. I want to offer him a cool drink of water. Amen. That's the refreshing. Brother, I think Brother Doug was talking about where he would find a refuge. Right? Where he would have a place to lay his head. Well, that's the place. That's why we are that refuge for him. We're the only ones that would offer that true worship. That is how the true bride is united in this hour. Through true worship of him. And she's the only one left at the very end. When we come right down to it in the book of Revelation, she's the only one that doesn't bend a knee. And worship the false one. Psalm 62:8. If we could stand this morning. We'll just finish up with this. He says, trust in him at all times. I just like this scripture, amen. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, and pour out your heart before him. You can trust him with your heart. Amen? He'll never disappoint you. He'll never fail you. Trust him at all times. Pour your heart out before him. You can trust him with your heart, is what he's saying. He says, God is a refuge for us. We may have to hold back in every other area in our life, but we don't have to hold back with him. We can offer ourselves fully to him. We can pour our hearts out before him. We don't have to hide from him. When we fail and fall, it doesn't do any good to try and hide it from him anyway. He knows about it. Pour your heart out to him. Express your desire. Lord, I don't want to do that thing. I don't want to be like that. I want to be pleasing to you. Brother, sister, that's worship. That's worship. That's acknowledging that he's trustworthy. That's acknowledging, Lord, I know I can trust you with my deepest, darkest secrets. He knows them anyway. But he wants you to trust him with them. Let me be pure. Forgive me when I've exalted myself. And we all do it. Exalt ourselves above him. We put ourselves, our flesh, above him. Lord, I don't want to be on the throne. I want you to be on the throne. I want to surrender to you, Lord. I want to be a true worshiper in this hour. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we so love you, Lord. And Lord, we praise you, Lord, as the amazing King, amazing God, amazing Savior, amazing Lord in every way, Lord. Amazing and awesome doesn't even begin to describe you. And Lord, because we love you so, Lord, we want to surrender to you this morning, Lord. Lord, I desire to surrender in a deeper way, Lord, greater than I've ever surrendered before. I don't want to be guilty, Lord, of stolen worship, Lord. I don't want to be guilty of stealing the honor and worship that's due to you and applying it to my own flesh or applying it somewhere else, my own desires, Lord, my own dreams, my own goals. Lord, our flesh is enmity against your spirit, Lord. And it's constantly trying to put itself on the throne. But Lord, we don't want to be guilty of that this morning, Lord. Lord, worship is due to you and you alone. You're the only one that's worthy of it, Lord. You are God, you are Lord, you are King. Lord, and we acknowledge you as that this morning.
God, help our praise turn into worship this morning. God, where we see you so clearly, Lord. We enter into your presence, Lord. We enter into your throne room this morning. We cast ourselves at your feet, Lord. We say, Lord, you're worthy. You're trustworthy this morning. You're good. You're amazing, Lord. I acknowledge you as God. I want to be obedient to you, Lord. Whatever you say goes. I want my worship to be in action. Lord, in service, in activity, Lord. On my lips, not just in praise, but also in testimony and profession of faith. Father, won't you help us, Lord? Won't you help us? It's a battle in this hour. We know it is. But that's why your Holy Spirit was given, Lord. That we might be true worshipers. That we might not be overcome by the self-centeredness of the world. By Satan's Eden that says, just do your thing. Be true to yourself. I reject that idea this morning. And I say I want to be true to my God. I want to be true to His Word. I reject the self-centeredness of Laodicea. Lord, I want to receive all that you have for me, Lord. Just where you've placed me, Lord. Doing what you've told me to do. Each one of us, Father. Acknowledging that you know best. Bless my brothers and sisters this morning, Lord. Father, may their worship be true, Lord. May it be pure this morning. Oh, hallelujah. The enemy is raging all around us, trying to steal your worship. But the worship of the sons of God is purposed for you and you alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I will love you, Lord. How we honor you, Lord. Have thy way this morning. I pray that every heart would come to complete surrender this morning, Lord. No doubt there's been many battles waged this week, Lord. Lord, may we come into full surrender, Lord. May every person in the sound of my voice come into full surrender right now. Lay your hearts at the altar and allow Him to have first place in your life. There may not be another opportunity. You may not have another tomorrow. You may not have another service where there's an anointing like this. There's an opportunity now to say, God, I surrender to you, Lord. I've been doing things my own way, but Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. Give Him that position right now in your heart. Don't let this moment pass. Oh, God. Don't let this moment pass. Right now is the time to surrender to Him. Let Him be God. Let Him be King. Thank you, Jesus. Be King this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. And we will give you all the glory and honor, all the praise, all the worship that you deserve, Lord.
In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him, brother, sister. Surrender. I surrender. Lord, I surrender my heart. Give it all to Him. Not holding anything back this morning. Lord, all that I have is Yours. All that I am, I bring it into subjection to You this morning. I surrender. Lord, I surrender my life. I give it all to You. Hallelujah. Lord, I know. Oh, Lord, Your plan.